unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
Broadcasting live outside AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's going on, Texas? It's your boy, Stephen A., coming at you live over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, like I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 to noon Central, over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Of course, it re-airs from 5 to 7 your time, 6 to 8 my time, right here on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. And those... for those who want to send in voicemails and all of that stuff because they don't want to stay online, just go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious and leave your voicemail. Happy to be with you. I love being here. I mean, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. But I do actually love being here. I do actually love being here. Y'all get on my last damn nerves, Dallas. You know that. You know that. Ain't nobody scared. Nobody's scared to tell y'all, but what I will do is I'm not gonna front. I'm an honest guy. I love messing with y'all. I love trolling y'all. I love y'all trolling me back. It's all love, and y'all show me that by being here today. So I really appreciate it, and I thank y'all. I really, really do. You know? Now, when I was on my day job First Take a couple hours ago, I made a promise, and I might have put my foot in my mouth. Because I said ain't no way in hell the Dallas Cowboys are making the playoffs. And I also said that if that happened, that miracle happened, and I was proved to be wrong because it ain't going to happen, I bet y'all that I'd come back here and host the damn playoff game party right here at Texas Live. I'll take it a step further. And show you how sure I am that you ain't gonna make the damn playoffs. Y'all make the playoffs, not only will I come here for a party, I'll be a damn waiter. That's how sure I am. You know, because y'all don't have no damn defense. That's why I call you the Dallas Cowboys. Take the D out of Dallas. But I will say this, you do have a great offense. Dak Prescott has been sensational. Not last week. Last week was a struggle. The struggle was real, all right? But for the most part, Dak Prescott has been sensational. CeeDee Lamb and Pickens is sensational. Ferguson's sensational. Javonte Williams is balling. I got to give credit where credit is due. The Dallas offense is all that. I got to give it to you. Now, the question is, are you going to be able to win the 9? Against the Arizona Cardinals. I'll answer that question a little bit later on in the show. My man Michael Irvin is coming back. DeMarcus Ware is going to be in the house. And the one and only Mr. Jerry Jones is coming into the house as well. Oh, my Lord. I'm like Fred Sanford holding my hand to my chest right here. How y'all booing Jerry? You better watch your manners. Jerry built all of this for y'all. He got Jerry World for y'all. I mean, don't. And by the way, that offense is big time. That's Jerry Jones now. You can't have it both ways. Be nice. Be respectful. Leave the disrespect to me. You be respectful, okay? Listen. Before I get into some more football, I need to transition, if you don't mind, just for a second, to talk about baseball just for this moment. We gotta give love where it's due to Major League Baseball. I'm not talking about just the game. I'm talking about what's happening. I'm talking about what's happening to the sport as we speak. You see, when you make these rule changes, whether it's a pitch count, whether it's a lower pitching mound, whether it's no shifting or anything like that, you've invited athleticism back to the game. And people ain't relying on just a home run in order for excitement to exist in the sport. And as a result, you're seeing people manufacturing runs, you're seeing people stealing bases, you're seeing people like Paez make that great catch that he made, you know, in Game 7. You're seeing clutch play. You got the highest payroll in Major League Baseball, but then you show up, you get blitzed. Games four, game five, down 3-2. You going back to Toronto, a damn country, okay? All the odds are stacked against you, and you find a way to pull that out. And then a game seven, you're trailing, and Max Muncy hit a home run. And then you're trailing again, or you're tied, and Will Smith hits a home run. And Toronto is trying to come back, and this cat Paez just gets inserted into the game, all right? Ain't been out there at all, and all of a sudden runs over his teammate in center field to jump over him and make a leaping catch because his teammate was out of position and was probably going to miss the ball, which means Toronto would have won the World Series. When you see stuff like that and you see the rules shifting and it's inviting athleticism, you're inviting more diversity to the game. You're inviting people who are athletic, white, black, Hispanic, and beyond. And all of a sudden, you're embracing a gorgeous mosaic instead of looking at a sport leaning on a national pastime, you know, with a few others sprinkled in there. And no, that's all changed now. That's what baseball has done. So I just wanted to take a moment to give baseball props, because if you're baseball, not only is doing that, just embraces a whole bunch of cultures. Think about it. LA is one of the top two markets in America. Canada is another country. And the stars for LA were all from Asia, and Shohei Ohtani, and Yamamoto, and Sasaki. So if you're baseball, you got all of that going on, assisting in globalizing the sport, talking about what it brings to America, elevating the quality of the sport, and inviting new eyeballs while sustaining the old eyeballs and having everybody transfixed on some damn good baseball, because we all know we didn't look at anybody in the World Series and felt somebody else should have been there. The two best teams was there, and the two best teams showed out and pulled it to the brink in extra innings of a game seven of a World Series. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. So I just wanted to give Major League Baseball props for all of that. Now let me get back to my football. The Dallas Cowboys should win tonight. But that don't mean you're going to. They say Kyler Murray is probable for the night. He may play. He's not going to start. Jacoby Brissett will start. As a result, you're the Dallas Cowboys. Even though Jacoby Brissett has been playing this year, or has played this year, better than Kyler Murray was playing before he got hurt, the bottom line is Kyler Murray's Kyler Murray. The brother ain't lost in Texas in high school, college, or the pros. This state has been very, very good to him. So if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you got a problem. Now, looking at the Cardinals, they're 7-1 in their last 8 meetings against the Cowboys. 7-1. Well, saying they suck doesn't answer the question. Okay? See, on a microphone, you got to have facts. You can't have your emotion. And the fact is that they 7-1 in the last 8 damn meetings. Now, when you look at the Cowboys, you can score on anybody. Who can you stop? Y'all couldn't stop a cold. You got to figure it out. And when Jerry comes up here, what I want to know is, are y'all going to press him a little bit about the fact that the NFL trading deadline is tomorrow at 4 o'clock and you need him to do something? All right? And the reason I ask those questions, and the reason why those questions are important, is because I want you to know, and I want to read to you a couple of things that the Philadelphia Eagles are doing or have done since before the trading deadline. All right? They acquired this cat, Jalen Phillips, from Miami. All right? And you needed him. He's got like 15 and a half sacks over the last 2 seasons. Returned to play 4 games last year, but missed the rest of the year with a torn ACL. But he's back now with 3 sacks this year. The Eagles are tied 24th in the NFL with sacks this year. They also acquired cornerbacks Jared Alexander from the Ravens and Michael Carter II from the Jets in trades over the last few days. So the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, who are number one in the NFC East in first place, are saying we ain't standing still. Now, what y'all gonna do? And here's why I say y'all. Because I blame y'all. It's your fault. You see, here's what's happened. This is what has happened to the city. Let me tell you what happened to the city. First of all, Dallas is a marvelous, marvelous city. I thought about moving here. I'd have been with y'all. You know what I'm saying? I thought about moving here. All right? And by the way, this would have been one of my hangout spots. I ain't gonna front. Because I like stuff like this, right? No state income taxes. Weather's nice. The land. Oh, my Lord. The stuff you could buy out here. Lord have mercy. You know, I don't blame any of y'all for loving Dallas. All right? And we'll get in a conversation about your Dallas Mavericks some other time. We'll get there another time. I won't do that to y'all today. I might get flashes of Wembanyama. Y'all might not like that. I'll leave that alone for now. All right? But I will tell you that when I think about the Dallas Cowboys, I'm thinking about how Jerry Jones is worth $20 billion. I'm thinking about how the Cowboys are worth $13 billion. And obviously that's not possible if it were not for y'all. It's y'all support that has enabled this to happen. So maybe, just maybe, if you were a little bit more demanding and a little less delusional, maybe y'all would be better. It's y'all fault. And I relate. You see, people compare Knicks fans to Cowboy fans. I'm a native New Yorker. I'm a diehard New York Knicks fan. But here's the deal. We're not as delusional. When the Knicks sucked, we knew this. We didn't sit up there going like, you know, we're going to win the NBA championship next year, right? You know, we're going to win the NBA championship. We never did that. We knew they sucked. We faced reality and we embraced it. With all of our being, it was important to us to sit up there and say, yo, man, y'all sorry. And we sick of y'all. You understand? We thought about having protests outside the Garden when they hired Phil Jackson. They hired Phil Jackson literally on the day we had planned a protest outside of Madison Square Garden. And I was the one who ignited the protest. And I was not ashamed of it one bit. I wanted that franchise protested. That's how disgusted I was with them, okay? But then they hired Phil Jackson. Little did I know that he would ultimately be so awful, he should be banned from New York state lines. I didn't realize that at the time. But I'm just saying, the point is, we demanded something. What have y'all demanded? You understand? Max Crosby is somebody you should look at. No doubt. But the fact is, y'all did not, y'all haven't been as demanding. Y'all haven't said, now I've seen the cries, I've seen the tears. Y'all see the video that I threw up on TV all the time. Y'all know that's my favorite video all the time. It's never being deleted. It's never being erased. When you see them Cowboy fans, when y'all lost to Green Bay or to San Francisco the year before, and y'all was just leaning over the railings crying, grown ass men crying. Yeah, remember the one with the sister? And all the brothers know. I mean, we all brothers and sisters. We all brothers. But I'm talking about the fellas, the black brothers here. You saw that sister, and you remember that video with the sister just looking at the camera like, every black man in here knows that sister was looking at us saying, y'all ain't worth a damn. Everybody know that. She gave you that kind of look like you ain't, and I ain't gonna say that word on it. I ain't gonna be profane. But you know what I'm saying. And then you see the white brothers and sisters, the Hispanics, everybody crying. And I have to admit, it's one of the most touching videos I've seen in my adult life. I just loved it. I just love it. I actually play it once a day just to put a smile on my face. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see y'all going through that sometimes. But I have gotten to the point where I have to confess, I'm getting a little nicer. I'm starting to feel sorry for y'all. I mean, I'm starting to contemplate rooting for the Cowboys so y'all could get something going. I mean, I'm not there, but I'm starting to fantasize. I'm starting to get to a point where I want to remember what it feels like when the Cowboys win. I'm talking about doing the playoffs. I'm not talking about regular season. I'm talking about doing the playoffs. I mean, we all know y'all will win your share of regular season games as long as Dak is healthy. You'll win your share of regular season games. The question is, what you going to do come playoff time? I'm starting to get to the point where I want to find out, you know, how this place would be. I just don't see it, you know, giving up over 400 yards like it's going out of style. Can't stop anybody. I don't see it, but I'm hopeful because Jerry Jones is my buddy. Michael Irvin is my brother. And I don't want to see, Michael Irvin, I know he sweats so damn much y'all don't see him crying. But he actually does cry a lot over the Cowboys because it really, really hurts him when they lose. I want better for my brother. And so I'm not going to spend the show going off and being negative with y'all. Y'all are here. Y'all have blessed me with y'all presence. I'm very, very grateful. I didn't expect this kind of crowd to stay here like this. I'm very thankful, you know. And no lie. If you quote me on this, if you tape it, I'm going to deny it. Plausible deniability is a word that I learned many, many years ago, you know. But y'all are arguably the greatest fans in the world. You really are. And I know that. So I'll give it to y'all. We got a lot of stuff to get into as the show progresses today. I'm going to get into some NFL stuff, what's going on. I'm going to paint a picture for the NFC to see what the Cowboys competition is, who you got to worry about, who you got to look at, who you got to think about, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to do it with my man, the playmaker himself. I'm definitely going to have DeMarcus Ware on the show. We're going to talk about that as well. We're also going to talk to the great Jerry Jones, because that's my buddy. So I'm looking forward to it. Let me say this about this. I tease Jerry Jones all the time, but I'm going to say this publicly. You're damn right as a GM, he could do better. I've said it publicly. Ain't nobody backing up. And ain't nobody backing up. But when people try to use things as an opportunity to attack him personally, I've known the man for years, and I cannot count the amount of people whose lives he has touched, the people he has supported, and things that you all will never, ever, ever know that he has done in this community for people you have loved throughout this country. You have no idea what a good man he has been to so many people. That's why we have the relationship we have. We don't have the relationship we have because I'm trolling him about his damn Cowboys all the time. A matter of fact, he cusses me out half the time over that, okay? It's the truth. I don't care, and neither does he. Because when it comes to real, real, real things, the man does a whole lot of good that he never talks about, that he never tells anybody about, that a lot of people don't know about. He didn't tell me about 90% of the things he's done. They told me. The people whose lives he's touched. And so that's what I want people to remember. That's why that's my guy. Even though I'm going to tease him and I'm going to troll him, I'm going to laugh when he loses. You understand? Because I can't stand y'all guys half the time. It's all in fun. Just having a good time, being a sports fan, and loving and hating on teams. That's what comes with sports. But I want y'all to know something. Just like y'all are here for me today, I'm going to always be here for y'all. We can go have fun, go off about football and all of that stuff. You understand? But whenever Dallas needs me, I love this city. And I will happily be here for all of y'all, just like y'all are here for me today. So I appreciate that. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Up next, the 3-time Super Bowl champion, the Hall of Famer, the man affectionately known as the Playmaker, the one and only Michael Irvin comes in to join me for the rest of the show in a minute. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Broadcasting live outside AT&T Stadium, this is the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
One back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 to 2 Central over Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Let's get right to it. He is the playmaker. He is synonymous with Dallas, Texas. He's also my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand up and put your hands together for the one and only, Michael Irvin.
Pretty amazing, man. I got to give you something, Steve. They don't.
You don't need your headphones right now. Oh, yeah. Hey, you don't need it right now.
What's up, peeps? Listen. We get on Stephen A., but I got to give him a little props. You guys have no idea the brain drain it takes to do First Take and then pop up here and do another show after that high energy show we just did, man. So I got to give you your props on that, bro.
Well, I appreciate you, bro. So let's get right to it. How you feeling about your Cowboys this year?
Just like most of the people out here, man, we feel great. Some days not so great.
Right.
This is what you call the roller coaster of love. You know what I mean? When you love a team like we love the Cowboys, sometimes when them Sundays don't go right, we hurt and we divorce them. But before that Thursday night game, we back at the altar saying, I do again. I do. I do. That's the roller coaster of being a fan and loving your team as much as we do.
Do you feel that love has hurt the Cowboys because they know that the love is going to be there no matter what, so you don't hold them accountable, and as a result, they don't produce up to your satisfaction?
I do not feel that love is hurting. Now, I feel that some people that may put on the star take advantage of our love that we give.
That's what I'm talking about.
But no. Love is not the hurting factor. The wrong person and how they receive it is the problem, not what we're giving. We need to continue to give the love. We just got to find the right people that can reciprocate the love by making damn plays on the field. That's what we got to do. But so, we ain't going to stop being us.
So is it possible that y'all have spent too many years finding the wrong people? Let me ask you this question. Before you answer that question, is it true that, and I don't bring up this name for negativity because I love this man. I love Jimmy Johnson. All y'all should love Jimmy Johnson.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Is it true that when Jimmy Johnson first arrived, that you took him into the locker room and showed him the locker stall of everybody that he needed to get rid of?
And this is a problem here. Understand this. First, let me say, absolutely. Absolutely.
You should. Before you go on, could you paint a picture? Because you're a visual.
Right.
You're a demonstrative dude. And people, it's not just hearing Michael Irvin. It's seeing it. I want you to imitate you in the locker room with Jerry Jones and you pointing out who need to go. Give us a picture of how you look when you said that.
Now, you got to understand from whence it came and why it was delivered. When I first got here, you know, I was coming from a program where we understood how to practice and what the results would be. And then I got here, and I was expecting to see guys that wanted to win more than anything. And that wasn't the case. And after we lost a game or two, man, I would literally be hurting so much, I'm really boo-hoo crying. And there were guys coming up to me saying, hey, man, this is the NFL. We don't do this. We pick up checks on Tuesday. Let me tell you the one thing Jimmy always said, and I brought it with me. Jimmy always said, I know there are a lot of different people in this room, and we may want to be here for a lot of different reasons. You may want to be coming in to get rich. You may want to just get famous. Hey, you may just want to meet pretty girls. We can do all of that if we focus on one thing, and that's winning. Everybody gets what they want if you focus on winning. The problem is, too many people are focused on too many things. And all the people that are not focusing on winning, I'm an African-American. They say in our culture, you don't ever snitch. I did. Because the truth of the matter is, I don't need friends, I need wins. And all my friends got to help me win. All your friends must help you win. You only get 24 damn hours in a day. If you ain't giving it to whoever you're giving that precious time to that you can't make more of, if you want to call him a friend, damn it, you better help me win. Because I can't call you a friend if you ain't helping me win. That's just the reality of life.
So I did ask, doesn't that prove the point that over the last 29 years, approaching 30, 10,800 plus days.
I knew she gave you the numbers.
I think it's 10,872 days and counting since you last won a Super Bowl championship. Is it not plausible that, or factual, that the real problem is Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, Stephen Jones, Michael Irvin too, you have not assisted in bringing in enough guys that think like that.
Right.
Is that not true?
And the Cowboys are changes in this way and learning that it's not just what someone brings physically to the table. If they don't bring the right mentality to the table. I've always said I would pick a player with a little less talent but a more uniter, especially on defense. I'll take a guy a little less gifted if he knows how to bring the defense and bring the team together. That's the importance in this game. This game is not just about skill. You win championships with a collective will. So, yeah, we got to get our skills better, but learn to have a collective will. Those are the teams that don't ever lose together, long as they stay together. And that's where the Cowboys got to get better at.
Michael Irvin right here with Stephen A. and Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. You know, when I think about Dak Prescott, I want to say this. The brother can play. Yes. He is not a scrub. He is not some average player. Dak Prescott can ball. Now, we can debate $60 million, considering that you live in a hard cap league and how that $60 million compromises your ability to go out and get other assets to help him win. But there is no doubt that the brother got skills and he's not a scrub and you got a quarterback. The flip side to it, I've often said this. That Michael Irvin that just sat up there and said, we don't snitch. I did.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I look at old clips of Troy Aikman on the sideline going the hell off to a coordinator about guys not doing their job, guys needing to be held accountable, not taking any mess. And by the way, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I would like to see more love for my colleague and friend Troy Aikman. That's a 3-time Super Bowl champion right there. And
we
know that, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So having said all of that, I think about a Troy Aikman, and I think about how that personality that he had, no nonsense, didn't play. I don't see that from Dak. Mm. Do you?
Mm. Not in a sense of what Troy did, but you also didn't see Dak have the tutelage of what Troy got from a Jimmy Johnson. You see, Jimmy's way was even tough on Troy. And Troy, who answers to that, because Troy's dad was hard on him. You see, so that brought them actually closer together, which I love. And I don't see that Dak has that guy that he can trust and that guy that he I'm hoping that's why we're seeing greater play now, because he has that with Coach Schottenheimer.
I've been very impressed with Brian Schottenheimer, y'all.
Right, right.
I'm
right.
not down on John Brian Schottenheimer.
Right, right.
I think you got something with Brian Schottenheimer. I've never really said this before. I think you got the right coach for this franchise.
And he brings something that I do like, and I watched him practice. And you gotta give him time to get the right players together to adhere to his message. But everything I see him do, he does two things. He creates competition, and he does it in pressure moments and pressure situations. That's all football is. If you can play great late, which means you got to make plays under pressure because that's when the games come on, then you can succeed in this league. And so I'm hoping Dak now is getting that with his head coach, Schottenheimer, that I didn't see him have with other people. I see him having more control of the offense, and that's making a huge difference, especially with George Pickens.
That's great news, and somebody like Jerry Jones would love to hear that. because Jerry Jones wants everything to fall on the shoulders of Dak because Jerry wants to justify his investment. That's the man I gave $60 million to. Go out there and get it done for me. Figure it out. That's the Jerry Jones I know. But in the same breath, there's a defense that you got to cater to. And on the defensive side of the ball, we saw an individual in Micah Parsons that could get to the quarterback.
Bad man.
And you let him go. Now, other people look at Jerry. They look at the business and his agent. I look at Michael Irvin. Yeah. You were supposed to be in the air, Jerry Jones, and holding and communicating with him and preventing him from being stubborn and making this move, and you did not do that. So are you ready to tell the people
and
you feel responsible for Micah Parsons not being here?
He's not lying. I really do. I really do feel responsible for it. And when I watch on Sundays, I will make sure they understand this from now on, I don't think that even the Cowboys or anybody in that organization understood the harmony play between Michael Parsons and Trayvon Diggs, or you wouldn't have made this decision. No way you could have made this decision. I didn't harp and get in Jerry's ear because I thought, no way Jerry's going to make this decision. I didn't expect anything to say, well, Jerry's going to lose his cool and go trade him. I'd rather have Michael sitting out a few games than being traded. And Jerry talked about it. He says, I got the stomach for long negotiations, but you threw up this time. Mm-hmm. And I wish you would have kept his stomach and not thrown up, and we'd have had Michael Parsons. But but now there's a chance to make up for it. And everybody's talking about, well, we want to keep the first-round draft picks. If I can get me somebody to get to the quarterback.
Who the hell gives a damn about those late first-round picks?
Right now.
It's trading right now. Who gives a damn about two late first-round picks?
Don't let people fool you with some promise of the future when you can deal in greatness right now. And in the future, whatever they promise, they may not deliver. We got a first-rounder that we're trying to trade right now. Right now. So a bird in hand is better than them birds we looking at in the bush.
I don't mean to be this way because I'm a very thoughtful individual and I try to be kind to my brother. You know, I got love for him. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to, you know, rub it in, nothing like that. I would never do that. But I got to ask, what would the Dallas Cowboys be this year if Micah Parsons was still here?
Boy, oh, my God. Dude, y'all, you guys understand this, right? He's right. It would be, because I was telling you guys earlier, defense don't win championships, but turnover defense does. And what the Cowboys had was a turnover defense with Michael Parsons. We couldn't stop the run, but we got some picks. We got some interceptions. And with you get those picks, you get those interceptions, and you turn the ball back over to Dak, CD, and George Pickens. Now we're in a whole new world. We're in a whole new world. They would be the most dominant team right now in the National Football League. That's why if he goes and get Michael Parsons ain't coming back. But get me somebody that just anywhere in the area code
Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, somebody like that.
Any one of them I would take in a heartbeat. But Jerry would have to also make sure he extend them when he makes that deal. You got to extend them so we're not here tomorrow.
There's been a little change in the programming. I thought he was going to get here later. He is here early. Up next, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what he does.
Mr. Jerry Jones, owner for the Dallas Cowboys, is in the house. Back with more of the Stephen A. Smith Show with the Playmaker in a minute.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
You got that right, Spanko.
Back to Jerry's World with Stephen A.
Forty-five minutes past hour number one back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 12 to 2 Central, re-airing at 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 3 to 5 your time. So you get a double dose of your boy, whether you like it or not. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. I was planning on talking to the playmaker for the rest of the hour and then bringing on my man DeMarcus Ware and, of course, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. But he has arrived early.
Yes.
Let me ask you this before Jerry Jones gets here. Who are you worried about most in the NFC in terms of standing in Dallas's way?
I like a lot of teams right now in the NFC, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying I'm worried about anybody because I think the Cowboys can play with everybody, at least in the NFC. And everybody else is worried about Philadelphia. I'm comfortable because I know the Cowboys have played them pretty good. We feel good about playing the Eagles.
What about Detroit?
Detroit's always tough because they play a tough brand of football, a physical brand, and their team with harmony in talent. Philly's a team with talent but may break their harmony at any moment. You're not going to break harmony in Detroit.
When we talk about breaking the harmony, what have been your thoughts about what you've heard about A.J. Brown? Hold on for a second. They said Jerry's coming now.
Ha ha. Come on, ball.
All right. Grab a seat, sir. What's going on, Mr. Jerry Jones? How are you, sir?
Better now that I'm here with you, Stephen.
First of all, I'm always grateful. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I don't ever take it for granted, so thank you so much. How are you feeling about your Dallas Cowboys right now, Jerry Jones?
Well, let me just say this. Right now, I feel good sitting in this room with all these Cowboy fans.
Right.
Telling you I do.
Right.
But guess what I'm fixing to say? Now, I know this one right here loves me and loves the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't even have to ask him. I know that for sure. What you need to know is this one over here loves me, too. You know?
I do.
He's a fraud.
I love my guy, Jerry Jones. I got to tell you, though, I have to confess, you know, I'm not a fan of your defense. They got a lot of work to do. But the offense is prolific. It's explosive and has the potential to beat anybody. Where are you in terms of how you feel about the potential of this team moving forward in light of what you've seen thus far?
Tonight's a big game.
Yep.
Tonight is a big game. Last week against Denver was a big game. Our expectations were that we would come in there and play better defensively and thereby play better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we fell short last week. This is a big game. We need to come in here. We need to see the progress that you expect the defensive players to make. Last year, we had a different coordinator, Mike Zimmer. Now, Mike Zimmer is one of the best coaches in the country and has been for a lot of years, coached here. Our defense, he was new, and our defense was nowhere near, by the time we got to the end of season, where it was the first of the season. In other words, we got better.
Mm-hmm.
So if I look at the template of seeing our guys get better when they get more reps, more practice, I know that the guys that we've got here right now can get better reps. We're going to be doing some different things out there tonight. When you look at all that, to answer your question, we can play better.
Jerry, I got to get on you because I can. You know, sometimes when it comes to these coaches, you're too damn nice. You're too damn nice. Now, you'll get rid of them eventually, but you're too damn nice. I will say this to you. I think you did good with Brian Schottenheimer. I'm a fan. Yeah. I like what I'm seeing from Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus, your defensive coordinator, that is a different matter, Jerry. And I'm wondering, you know, do you find yourself, because a lot of people believe that you make a choice, you make a decision, and you want to ride with that decision, and sometimes you're reluctant to make change when evidently change is needed. Are we going to be saying that about you when it comes to this defense? I'm talking about coaching-wise if this continues.
And I understand exactly where you're going. And the question is, Jerry, are you going to sit here and ride this thing off the cliff?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You really think I'm gonna ride this thing off the cliff?
That's what I'm saying.
Now, give me a little more than that, will you?
Right. Okay. I got you.
No, but seriously, we do. I do. We know Matt, and we know where he is with his fundamentals, and we know his good parts. Obviously, we're seeing some things that aren't shaking out right now. Now, when is it that you do something about it? I can assure you for certainly the last month, Brian Schottenheimer, everyone has been had their sleeves rolled up and are doing something about that defense. And you'll see some differences out there tonight as well. Now, let me say, it's hard to debate a negative. It's very hard to do it. But I can tell you, football is something that you can get better at.
Right.
And if you will keep your wits about you, your mind about you, you can get better. That's what football does. If you've got it. So I believe we can be better.
Right. And Jerry, okay, and you're talking about, we're talking about the defense. And there are a couple things that's lurking around the corner that everybody's pondering and wondering about, and you kind of dipped in the water and kind of got people thinking about it. There's the trade deadline that's coming up that I want to ask you about. But I want to back that up with asking you that the thing that's got me most excited about the defense getting better outside of the new things the defense may try is Overshown coming back.
Yep.
That's a different dude and a difference maker. Talk to me about the possibility of bringing someone else in, but also getting Overshown back.
We're going to bring someone else in, just so you know.
So, okay.
We're going to bring that. You know, today, right now, is the trade deadline.
Right.
Instead, I'm hanging with my buddies.
Right, right.
When I ought to be taking. The last time I said, rather than handling the defense, I'm doing this. Well, here I am.
There we go.
Going again with my old buddies. Now, that really bothers me. You know that, to be hanging with you guys with the trade deadline. But trade deadline.
Tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
Right.
And so time is nigh. A lot of action going on right now in terms of trading. And we certainly have made a trade. And we may make a couple of more trades before that deadline.
So you may make a couple of trades before the trade deadline?
Well, we've made one.
All right, you've made one. And what was that for?
And we possibly could make two more. And I'm going to wait and let you read about that.
Okay.
When we send the papers in tomorrow.
Okay. Mm. So he's already made a trade.
Well, that's a statement he made.
And he's got a couple of more coming tomorrow. Hold on.
Now, I'm not for sure because the other guys haven't made the other end of
understood,
the trade
understood.
On the other two.
Understood.
The
so one, what So one what are you trying to say?
Somebody out there about to be a cowboy. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. We got somebody coming.
Hey. Is the trade that you made and a trade that you're about to make, what are you trying to say that's going to do for the Dallas Cowboys this year?
Immediately, it will have them on the field, and it will address some of the things that have been our shortcomings. Now, that's a milquetoast answer.
No, it works.
Okay.
It works.
It really is. We've been having, not to get to too much detail, but it's on defense, you've got assignments, and you make your assignment,
right.
And all of you shaking your heads, you know what we're talking about.
Right.
Now, if sometimes you want to go out and just make a big play and abandon your assignment, what does that do to everybody else?
It puts everybody in harm's way.
On harm's way.
Right. It puts everybody in harm's way.
And usually will create a negative thing for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
We are trying to get players and have players that are getting to where they can be in the right place.
Right.
That sounds simplistic. You say, my gosh, these are pros. They're supposed to be in the right place. Not as easy as it sounds, but we're getting there, and that's why I think we can be better.
I know you want to win.
Not as easy as it sounds.
I know you want to win, period. That's the bottom line. But isn't there something about you, Jerry Jones, when you look at the fact that you're paying Dak $60 million, being the businessman that you are saying, damn it, I want my offense prolific. I want to be that. I want that to be what we hang our hat on. I want us to be out there and to be explosive because it's going to justify exactly what my vision was for this team and what we were capable of doing with Dak Prescott leading the way.
I'm going to answer that question this way. He just asked me, do I want to win?
I did not. I said you do want to win. I said you do want to win. I was talking about the way you want to win.
You said it with a tone that sounded like I needed an answer. Do I want to win? That's all right. I'll tell you how bad I want to win. When I bought the Dallas Cowboys, I had a certain amount of money, just like we have in our bank accounts. And I wanted a player to add to our team so bad that I gave him more money than I had when I bought the Dallas Cowboys cash. And I sat down with this guy right here, and I said, Michael,
yep.
I'm thinking about bringing such and such in.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, it is a lot of money to get it done. Then I visited with Troy, and I visited with Emmett to get it, to see if they thought. And they said, we think that he could be a real addition to us. Then we went in and took the entire team. And I put on the board what this new guy's contract was going to be. Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders. But before I did it, I went back to my home. I went back to my home in Arkansas. And I walked down the old street that I used to walk down when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And I walked down that street, and I saw the old cracks. I was 47 when I did this. I saw those old cracks that I saw in the street when I was a kid. And then I went on down, and I saw a tree that had been kind of the bark knocked off of it. And I remember knocking the bark off. Well, I walked on down because I wanted to see if I'd lost my mind. This thing had gotten so crazy. And back then, walking down that street, a quarter was everything. A quarter was something. So I wanted to go down that street. Walked down that street, came back up, looked at my old house, got back on the plane, came back to Dallas, and gave Deion Sanders at that time $13 million just to sign the contract at that time. Now, that's how bad I wanted to go. I want to do it worse today than I did then.
Right.
Just so you know. Today.
Can I take...
We got 20 seconds.
Can I take what he just talked about Deion and imagine this new person going to be like that?
Okay. No, that ain't going to happen. Let me say this to you. We got a lot to talk about, and I'm glad you went there because I want to come back in hour number two and tell you a story that I told somebody on the air. I told folks on the air the other day that people were getting on me about because I'm like, you're not understanding. You're not seeing the big picture. But I'm going to paint it for Jerry for him. Wait until you hear the story when I come back. Watch Stephen A. break down Jerry Jones right in front of him in a way that's going to make him smile.
Hey.
Hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show. Coming up next, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Don't go anywhere. Live from Texas, live in the house with the Playmaker.
Now, you better be sweet because I got a friend or two out here.
Yes, sir. Hour number two up next.
Unfiltered. Unapologetic. Unlike anyone else. Broadcasting live outside AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m., 12 to 2 Central Time. Right here over there is the SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I want to get back. Got Jerry Jones and a playmaker, Michael Irvin. DeMarcus Ware will be here any minute now.
Beware.
No question. We know what a monster he was. I want to tell, because I was telling people about you, because they brought up the whole Micah Parsons thing and all of this other stuff. I said, let me tell you something about Jerry Jones. This is what I kind of learned, and the story stayed with me. I saw it on a Netflix special, which is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. It was great. But what I tried to explain to people is this. When you go to Jerry Jones and you push back, it's going to be a problem. Because this is a man that purchased the Dallas Cowboys. I said, not one, not two, but $3 billion lawsuits against them, and built that into the most prestigious sports franchise in existence, worth about 13, 14 billion, etc. I said, when you do that, most of us, particularly those of us who are African Americans, we're looking at, we scratched and we clawed and we made our way here or there. Well, he's somebody that looks at himself as somebody who scratched and clawed and made his way there. And if you come up on him and you roll up on him and you push him, acting like you're going to bully him into doing anything, you are going to have a problem.
That is Jerry Jones. Am I right?
Well, first of all, you say it in such a complimentary way that I would like to have some of those qualities that you're trying to compliment. But there's another part of that, and that is, you know, don't let your money get mad, or first of all, Micah. Micah's 26
years old. He's
26 years old. When we saw each other before the season, before I'd made a decision with Micah, you told me, you said, now, Jared, Micah's a young guy, and you got to show him grace.
That.
Remember they
yes,
said
I
that
did.
To me?
And I asked you to show him grace.
You need to show him some grace. Now, what is grace, to remind everybody? It's not forgiveness. It's not forgiveness because you get forgiveness.
Right.
Grace is when you not only forgive, you add to it and bring the prodigal child home for kill the fatted calf.
Right, right.
You reward him almost, or her almost. That's grace. And you were so right. I've never talked to anybody, and two of them are sitting right up here as well. You talk about my story. I've never talked to anybody that's had their proverbial ass kicked as a young guy, as a family, or had hard times. I've never met anybody that couldn't come through and show some grace every now and then. Okay, we disagree, but
right.
Show some grace.
Right.
When I don't see that, when I don't feel that, and when I think we might have a problem in that area, then that does cause me to bark. Not understanding or not having been there because of lack of experience.
Yeah.
So having said that, what it causes you to do is start thinking about, well, maybe there might be another way to go.
Mm.
Everybody in this world ought to know what I think of Micah Parsons.
Mm.
I've spent a lot of time personally with Micah.
Mm.
I've knew and know what Micah is, as in my mind, a brilliant player. But I've always known that we could get 5, 4, 6 really top players on the field for Micah.
I don't know that, Jerry.
I've always known that. I can add it up for you.
Okay.
I'll add it up for you. Well, having said that, where I'm coming from is there was just enough going on here, just enough going on that caused me to go over the other side and start thinking about the pluses over there.
Mm.
And that's how that did.
So in other words, conversations,
right.
Conversations became untenable because you didn't sense the level of grace that you would have liked, and you didn't think that it would have been a fruitful situation moving forward.
I just thought it was always close if you could get, because one player, and let's take Mike out of the picture. Let's take any player, okay? You know, last year we didn't have Dak for how many games? 10?
Yeah.
10 games. I can't tell you the times that we've had great players that we didn't have them. Now, we didn't have this guy for a year, and
right.
It slowed our progress down. But when he came back from his injury, it made him better. And we all benefited from that, and we won 3 world championships because this guy's sitting right there.
Right.
We also improved our team with Deion Sanders. I really know what a great player can add to the mix. A
okay.
great one.
Mm.
Certainly, you say, well, isn't a great one more impactful than 5 or 6 that aren't as great but really good players?
Mm.
The point is, all of that starts getting in your mind. You start thinking about it. You look at the alternative. And then all of a sudden you say, you know, I'll check it just to make sure this isn't out there.
Mm.
So that's how you can go from convicted. In training camp, I was convicted with Mike.
Gotcha. I got some more questions. I ain't running out of questions. But before I get into that, I got to bring a man out here that was a star in the Dallas Cowboys, star in the NFL, period, a Hall of Famer.
DeMarcus.
Okay, you got it.
You got it.
Okay, this chair is slippery.
Because he doesn't have a seat. I'm just going to say, there he is. There you go.
You're going to stand.
Oh, got it.
You look lean.
What's that thing? Boy, doesn't he look like he can play.
That's a good man.
I got a couple snaps in me.
Great man.
Good player.
It is an honor and a privilege to see you, my brother.
What's up, baby? Hey, we will take him back on the line.
That's right.
We can light him up right now.
That's my first question to DeMarcus Webb. Watching this Dallas Cowboys defense, how much do they need you?
A lot. A lot. No, the thing is, I go back and just look at, you know, the guys and just how they're playing right now. And at the beginning of the season, everything was in line. I mean, you see how they came out the first game. It was, okay, we're good. Micah's gone. We're good.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, it's like we lost something. And I'm trying to figure out, what did we lose? And it wasn't because of Micah was gone, because we played pretty good without Micah. It's maybe the it factor of grit. Mm. The grit of accountability. Mm. And looking at the guy beside you and saying, I want it more than you do. And as I just go and
you're saying that you actually are looking at players and mm-hmm. you get the sense that you see that from some of the players? That some players want it more than others?
No. I want it more than you, meaning I will do anything. I will walk through that wall for you. As Jerry Jones always says, empty the bucket for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Is everybody emptying the bucket for the Dallas Cowboys?
Do you feel, watching, and Mike, if you got a question, I'll let you chime in. But do you feel when Jerry Jones decided to move on from Micah Parsons, did you feel that Jerry took too much heat? Or do you feel that it was appropriate, the heat he was taking because of the move?
Every decision that Jerry Jones makes, he's going to be some heat, regardless of if it's good or a bad decision. But from a business standpoint, he is a businessman, and he's going to make that right decision. But from the perspective of when Micah left, I look at it as, okay, you got 11 other guys that got to fill Micah's shoes, and nobody has done that yet as a group. So when your right-hand man leaves, when your captain leaves off the team, 11 of the guys, as you would say, you know what? He's gone. What are we going to do now?
I can be the star.
I can be the star.
That's what I'm waiting on somebody to say, hey, I'm not worried about Micah gone. I'm worried about who's taking that spot and become a star. Right. That's what I'm looking
for.
One
of the things that I marvel at, Jerry, is that I sit, because I've known, I mean, I love this brother. I've known this man.
Yeah.
And I see what these players who performed at a very high level, how they feel about you. I'm wondering, when you have folks on a current roster, it could be this year, it could be last year, it could be the year before, something like that, do you find yourself looking for these guys? Like, looking for, I'm talking personality-wise, when you're looking for character, talent is one thing, but that it factor, that character, that little extra something inside of your chest, do you look for that knowing what you know from these guys, and how often do you believe you see it from your personnel on your Dallas Cowboys?
Not one time. Not even in the hottest of days and tour days in August in Texas. Between 11 in the morning or when they quit practicing or 4 in the afternoon, did I never see any one of these two go over and lay on a damn training table in front of a million people. Never. It's not in their makeup. It's just not in their makeup. And I'm saying that because it was, that's pretty obvious. But we're not talking DeMarcus Ware when we're talking about another player. We're not talking Michael Irvin. We're not talking. These guys burn. They lay awake at night. Michael told me a story. He said Alvin Harper went across the middle against Way years ago against San Francisco.
Ronnie Lott and those boys.
Ronnie. Yeah. And went across the middle. Right before it was done, Michael told him, now be a man and head out across that middle and don't you flinch. Now that sounds like taking away something from Alvin Harper.
Right. It's not.
But 2 and 3 years before that, when Alvin was a young player, it was Michael that came up to him when Alvin was asked to go to his hometown in Tennessee and speak at the Rotary Club Michael said, how would you like for me to go with you? And right. I'll talk with right. you at the Rotary Club. Right. 3 years before that. And then Michael looked me in the eye and said, you know, Jerry, you don't put that in them in the huddle right before right. you're trying to make right. the play. You put that in years.
Right.
It's putting hay in the barn.
Correct.
So in that huddle against San Francisco, he looked over at Alvin Harper and said, have I ever let you down?
Correct.
Don't you let us down now.
Right.
You go across that middle like a as hard and as you can go.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
That's when you put it in. That's what we're sitting here with. And you'd like to think if you're going to be pay the highest that's ever been paid for something, that in football you can get
that. And that's what you want. And that's what you want. And what Jerry's talking
and when
about.
When you don't have it and you pay the highest that's ever been in football,
right.
you really got a problem.
And listen, especially in a Michael Parsons situation, I'm spot on and dead on with Jerry on this. Because since the money's going to be so different on all 11 guys playing defense,
yep.
you cannot go to this dude only in the fourth quarter and say, let's go. He's going to look at you and say, you make all the damn money. You go. If you don't spend some time with him in the offseason when he's doing a charity event in his damn neighborhood, in his home, you show up for free. That gives you the right to say what you got to say in the fourth quarter. I was there. Now you're going to show up right here for me, just like I showed up for you. And if you don't got that, you don't got anything.
You bet.
And you certainly can't give that if the highest paid guy don't got that. That hurts your football.
Let me say one other thing.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Deion Sanders came in, and there was a little question. Was Deion in it for the team, or was he in for
yes.
prime time?
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing. When he came in, and he got influenced with Michael and what have you, on Friday afternoons, it would look like they two were fighting each other at the yeah. Super Bowl. They'd be fighting and working so hard. And Deion didn't really like to work in the weight room in front of everybody.
Right.
Yet he had the most sophisticated weight and trainers you've ever seen. He just didn't want people to know he worked that hard. He wanted it to be natural.
Right.
And so you said, Deion, you need to come to the weight room a little bit more to be an example. He thought about it, and he said, well, you know, I was against because he wanted it all to be like that. He said, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. I'll go there.
So,
there's,
right.
well, when you put that crown on them,
mm-hmm.
they
it's
got
different.
To really be out there leading the pack because everybody knows they've got the
crown. I get what you're saying, and we all know when we was having this conversation, you know, when you print out the trainer's table and all of a sudden you talk about Michael Parsons, we ain't blind. But I got to go back to the question that I asked you. I asked Jerry, knowing these guys and their character, Micah gone.
Yeah, exactly.
How many Cowboys do you see with that
with
attitude?
Oh.
I'm saying how many, because listen, people are asking.
No,
people, and
no
I'm gonna tell you,
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
No.
So you don't see
no,
it?
No, I see Dak. Hey,
you
Dak,
see Dak?
Dak has it. And Dak has it.
But you're looking at it
Dak
from most of the others.
And there, no, when I say there's not out there, I'm not saying it has not really manifest itself, okay,
right.
so that it can really be that effective. But I'll say this, you've seen us really give some serious contracts mm-hmm. to other players.
Right.
I promise you they had a bunch of this, and you suspect they might have
right.
maybe as much, yeah. but they had it. The point is they got to love football.
That's it.
And
right
they got to love what it brings
add?
Out
you know
in them.
And one thing that I'm seeing is...
You can see that.
It takes two. It takes two. He's talking about that. He has a seal on his chest. He put a crown on him and saying, you are our king, and we're going to follow you. All right? That's what the offense is doing. That's why they're one of the best offenses in the league right now. But there's nobody with that seal on their chest on defense. Right. Somebody that's saying... Because it's a double-edged sword here. The defense hasn't been playing like they have been playing. It almost pissed me off a little bit, the way that they've been playing. But when you get two guys.
Almost.
Yeah,
almost.
See, I'm gonna boiling point.
All right.
I want to.
And so you got to have that double-edged sword, and we don't have that captain on defense the way when you do pay that guy. Right. Now, if he's on the field, everybody is still balling. Mm-hmm. If he's on the field, everybody is balling.
I want to ask you both a question. Was he – he's not there this year. Was he on the field last year, or was he on the field the year before?
You questioning a lot about Micah Parsons right now, Jeremy.
I'm not
you
saying
You got a lot of questions, man.
Was he on the field?
You got a lot of questions.
Was he on the field? Was he on the field?
Sometimes.
Yeah. In he performed.
Now, this is not fair. Micah's not here. I'm going to tell you something. I really think a lot of Micah Parsons. And it wasn't a question of wanting him on the team, but to anoint him in terms of that and everybody else looking at him, you better have some thinking.
You got to have it.
I got a question that I can't wait, and I can't wait to ask this to Jerry in front of these players. I'm getting ready to go to break. Jerry Jones, stuff that has nothing to do with football may play a role in what you're lamenting about when it comes to some of the modern-day players, and you have everything to do with it. I'll explain exactly what I mean when I get back. The Stephen A. Smith Show.
I know you are.
Sirius XM.
I know you're going
Mad Dog
right.
Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
24 minutes past hour number two. Back here with Stephen A. Smith on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Honored and privileged to have the playmaker, Michael Irvin, the owner himself, Jerry Jones, and of course the Hall of Famer, two Hall of Famers, DeMarcus Ware is another one. Jerry, before we went to commercial, I wanted to say this in front of this audience. I walk around this area and I see just immaculate facilities everywhere. Stuff that didn't exist here until the place affectionately known as Jerry World, AT&T Stadium, was put up. First of all, I mean, do you own everything around here?
Secondly,
here's what I've said. I've had the pleasure of being at the Star. I've seen how immaculate those facilities are. I call it the billion-dollar playpen, the AT&T Stadium. That's what I call it, right?
Well,
and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, this is a problem. And Michael Irvin said to me, what are you talking about? DeMarcus, Michael, he said to me, what are you talking about? I said, it's too damn comfortable. I mean, it's a classic place where if you're struggling, the sun will shine tomorrow.
Yes, it will.
It's going to be all right. Look at the facilities that I live. Look at the quality of life that I have. Look at the hotels that I stay. Look at what I call home. Is it possible, Jerry, that the reason why a championship has been so elusive for so long is because you've made it too damn comfortable for too many Cowboys?
Well, I've actually heard you say that, and I've heard. In other words, is it too nice to be, have the Spartan, have the get in the dirt, and have them get down and get it? Now, a lot of people in this room have played football. A lot of people's sons in this room have played football, and brothers in this room. And a lot of people's dads in this room have played the game. The game has been around Texas a long time. So I'm not going to spend a lot of our time saying football is unnatural. Football causes you to have to call on yourself. It's not like going out and playing catch, baseball, shooting baskets. And I love all the competition or tennis. Football causes you to have to go do something that is unnatural. Get in front of 300, not get out from in front of 300. That's what it does. Having said that, I have never worried about something nice jacking with the hearts of men that have pulled their self up and then defy a natural deal and play football.
Yeah.
I don't think they're that fragile. I don't think their hearts are that fragile. I played ball, and I've had nice things. I've had nice things. I'm 83 years old. I dream about my Tua days today. And I dream about how hard it was to call on myself. My old trainer used to say, Jones, you got the lowest tolerance for pain of any kid we've ever had at this school. And I'd say, well, his name was Grounding. I'd say, well, Grounding, I deserve a medal. It hurts me more than it hurts these guys.
Right.
Yet I'll
right.
still stick out.
Right.
My point is, instead of that, what happened when I was younger in college, I played at a school called Arkansas. When we practiced, there would be 2,000 people sitting 15 feet from us.
Right.
2,000, they'd be sitting out on the grass and all that. And I mean, when you walked up there and got your turn one-on-one, or you got your turn on the deal, it was your Super Bowl.
Right, right.
I don't care if you were on the 10th team. It motivates you.
Right.
Yep. So you can take nice stuff.
Yep.
You can take the deal. I've got to say one other thing, and I'm going to let you go. A lot of people ask why that stadium. Now, that stadium, it was the most expensive stadium that had ever been built at the time. And today it has 3 million air-conditioned square feet, which is the biggest one in the world. The stadium was not built for all of us to go into and enjoy the game tonight and basically watch whatever the stadium and the game can bring. That's there, and the Cowboys and the fans deserve it. Do you know why that stadium is done about a third of it more? So that John Madden can sit there in front of 30 million people and say, folks, you ought to see this place.
Right.
You ought to see it. Right. I've walked
it.
Or Al Michaels or any of the great deals. It is not about the 100,000 that will be here tonight. It's about the 30 million that are watching from that
stadium. Go ahead, DeMarcus.
You know, I go back and just look at it like this. Grit doesn't have an image. Right now you're looking at the image of the Dallas Cowboys. Grit has a feeling. And that's sort of curated outside of what you like to do, which is the sport. When I start doing things, family things with these guys, I know why he's doing it for his baby girl. I know why he wants to pay for his mom to get her out of the projects. I know why, because he came from the projects and he didn't have, you know, he had food inequalities. That type of grit, to get inside of that person and saying, hey, no matter where I am right now, I can get it done. And so when I was here with the Dallas Cowboys, there were a lot of Chiefs because everybody wanted to be a star, all right? Mm-hmm. And so there were no Indians that sort of keep everything together. But as an example, not to talk about this, but I'm talking about the Denver Broncos, all right? I was a Chief here with the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I went to Denver. When I started seeing them play pool, when I started seeing them have the haircut barber there, I was like, what are they doing? But then I see them there at 7 o'clock at night. I see them there at 9 o'clock at night. And I wanted to now play more for that guy because it wasn't the outside, the inside stuff, meaning in those meetings that I wanted. I wanted to know what was in here. Mm. And that's where that grit starts, in here. And I think that's one thing that I'm trying to tell Jerry right now is the grit needs to be built even more with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Meaning...
Yeah.
Diving deeper into why they do it. And then we're going to be able to watch that star off and make it shine in a way to where it's truly America's team because you're going to really see that grit that is built.
But let's also, one last thing for, let's also point the finger where it needs to be pointed sometimes because the media does these things. I got people and players that played here going other places and then start complaining about the star.
Correct.
Well, we can't focus because people walking around saying hi. I'm about to curse. Are you joking? Are you serious? Now, that the number went from 5, 6, 7 million a year to 50, 60 million a year because those people over there waving high and that money goes to the salary cap. So if you don't want them waving, go back to 5 million and stop taking 50 million and shut up.
Yeah.
That's what you see what I'm saying? That's part of the other side of it. And the media put a microphone in front of people and they like, yeah, they got too much going on. People waving high. You know how dumb you sound saying stuff like that? When your job is to go play football in front of 100,000 people, you're telling me people are distracting you. Be gone with that.
Well,
we didn't need people like that.
Let me say this to you about the media. Some people in the media are idiots. That's true. But the other big word is coward. What I mean by that is this. When I first met Jerry Jones, we was at the Disney up front. I walked right up to him. Because I had been talking about him.
Yeah.
So I needed to go up to him. You see what I'm saying? Because my whole point is, what you doing talking about somebody for and you make no effort to talk to them?
Mm-hmm.
What you doing talking about people for and you have no desire to go inside the locker room to meet them face to face, man to man, and be like, yeah, that's what I said. This is where I stand. Mm. Here's why. So
the relationship that Jerry and I have is because he's allowed me to be somebody that can be honest with him about what I feel and what have you. He's been honest with me. When he's disagreed with me, he told me. When he told me I don't give a damn what you think, he told me that too. And I love him for it. Same with you.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Getting to know him.
Accountability.
But it's always been that way.
Yeah.
The point, though, is this. When it comes specifically to the Dallas Cowboys, this is what I believe that y'all miss as players. Y'all set the standard. This man is sitting in all business. He comes, he gets ownership of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, you had Tom Landry here. You saw the whole Netflix special. It's a big move. It's a big movie made. He said, the hell with it. We ain't winning. We struggling. And I don't care about the love affair. I got to win. That's what I got to do. So he had the vision. And Jimmy Johnson fixated on winning, winning. You got Jimmy Johnson on video. Get him the hell out of here. I don't care about asthma. Have asthma somewhere else. That's what Jimmy Johnson said.
Right.
So you said it, and then all of a sudden you start winning. You go back-to-back Super Bowls. The Jimmy Johnson things goes about. You lose to San Francisco with Barry Switzer. You come back. You win a championship with primetime. There's a standard that was set, and the media coming along and reminding you of that standard is not a crime, because the standard is what put you here. The standard is what enabled Jerry World. The standard is what we can say what we want about
right,
Jerry.
Right,
you know
right.
what we got to add to it? He's three-time Super Bowl champion.
Right.
He ain't Hall of Famer. We got to add that. You understand? We got to add when the playmaker is being there, being introduced as a Hall of Famer. That's the man that introduced you.
Yeah.
We got to add all of that. Why? Because there's a standard
right.
that over the last 29 years has not been met by the very people, him included, who contributed to setting it. That's not the media's problem.
No, it's not the media's problem. But the issue with building a team has changed in a great way.
Okay.
Because you got so many rules that you can't practice and do the things you need to do to form that kind of deep love with a football team.
Fair, but everybody's playing under the same conditions,
right.
though.
But everybody's not going to be talked about like the Dallas
That's
Cowboys
fair. That's
are.
That's it. Totally
Let's
true.
Be real
That's
here.
Totally true.
There are other people over here. We won't even mention their team.
That's fair.
So when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, you put in what you're getting out of it. I remember one time I got in trouble with the league. I got a letter from the commission that told me I would usually give people a four-game vacation for this. But since you enjoy the Dallas Cowboys and all that comes with it, I got to give you five. That's what he told me. You remember that letter? I said, hey, I don't want that kind of love. Don't give me five. You know. But there's responsibility. There's great opportunity that comes with the exposure. But there's also a responsibility when you put that star on the side of your helmet. I've never walked in that stadium and not looked up at every man in the Ring of Honor that built it before me and said, I will not let you down today. That's what we need more of. We
right.
need more
exactly. Do you see how much heart is coming out of you right
yeah,
now?
Boy,
exactly.
That. Right.
So
That's
when
real.
I walked through that stadium, guess who named I looked at? Yours.
Mm.
And
mm.
I didn't want to let you down. And so now we got to get to the point to the guys that are on the team. They got to walk through that stadium and not look at the lights.
Right.
They need to look at that ring.
Right.
The most simplest
right.
thing that's there, which is the standard.
Right.
The standard. They say, I don't want to let those guys
right.
down.
Right, right.
Jerry,
yeah.
you listen to Playmaker, listen to Marcus Ware and what they said. What kind of thoughts right now are going through your mind as you listen to them say the things that they just said?
I'm actually thinking about where, when I hear Michael talk, where is that now on the Cowboys tonight? And I can tell you, it's in one spot. And I did make him the highest paid player in all of football,
yeah.
so I didn't get, my hand didn't cramp and I not do that. And that's, of course, Dak Prescott. What can happen is when it's not going good. Now, by the way, I'll get some booze for this because this doesn't count.
Okay.
In the last 17, 18, 20 years, we're the fifth and sixth winningest team in the NFL together, the whole record.
Yes.
In the last fifth or sixth
That's
winningest
right.
team.
I think it's fifth. Yeah.
We've been around the rim, but that doesn't count. What counts is those playoffs and advancing in those playoffs. But we have been around the rim at that time. Around the rim, such that obviously we have a great, I'm not going to say fan base, we have a great interest. Obviously, I think we've got a great fan base. But there's half the interested people out here that love to see us get our you-know-what kicked. And we understand that and really appreciate that very much. What additional to basically sitting here and doing the things to have a team that can pull that Super Bowl down? One of the things that I can be criticized for is doing everything I can do when I'm not catching passes to make us relevant.
Yeah.
Relevant. What you do, Stephen A., is a little bit of my philosophy.
Okay.
Okay? Controversy. Mm-hmm. Controversy. I'm serious. Dead serious. Not serial killing. Not that. But controversy. The Dallas Cowboys probably have the kind of interest that we have in no small part because we stay out front and we stay controversial. When it gets slow, I stir that shit up. Fact.
Literally, Jason.
Fact. Fact. Does that sound like anybody I know?
Sound a little familiar. Okay. Sound a little familiar.
My point.
So, in other words, you'll love you or you'll hate you, but you'll never be bored with
you.
Well,
my point is, I just want to be reveling. I just want you to be over here looking at us. Now then, in between that, I want to say to everybody in this room, I don't think that has ever kept us from scoring a touchdown one.
Right, right.
I don't think it has kept us from having a football player one. I don't think it's ever kept us from having the financial wherewithal to get a football player. As a matter of fact, I will tell you that, no, we don't have three Super Bowls to add to this thing. Did we get close a couple of times? Close doesn't count. But, yes, we did. Along those lines, if you think that I haven't had fun doing it, do you have any fun?
Yes, I am.
I know he does. That's what I knew the minute I looked at it. So I've got to say this to you. I know we get our butt kicked. I know we're controversial from time to time. I know that's a fact. But it does not screw in any way with making a touchdown, making a tackle, or winning a football game. I believe that.
I got you. Jerry Jones, DeMarcus Ware, the playmaker, Michael Irvin, with you right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Last segment of the show up next after this break. Don't go away. This is the Stephen A. Smith Show in the house.
Getting you ready for Monday Night Football between the Cardinals and the Cowboys. This is the Stephen A. Smith Show from Arlington, Texas.
45 minutes past hour number two back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, the very last segment of this show. Thanks again to the marvelous playmaker, Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware, and, of course, the Hall of Fame owner for the Dallas Cowboys, the one and only Jerry Jones.
Oh, we all Hall of Famers.
Fellas, let me ask y'all this question. So the Dallas Cowboys are under 500. All right. If the playoffs were to begin today, you're out, not in. When you look and you scour this NFC conference, how confident are you that Dallas will be able to resurrect themselves and get into the playoff hunt? I'll ask you first, DeMarcus.
This year or coming
this
up?
This year.
Right now, with the way things are going, how a lot of players on Washington got hurt.
Yep.
Philly's playing the way that they playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take it's a lot of ifs.
Yep.
But right now, if I said, all right, if everybody was healthy on all the NFC East teams, I'm going to say we're not going to be able to make it. That's my perspective. But with all the ifs that are out there right now, hey, I'm the biggest Dallas Cowboy fan out there. So I'm like, listen, we in this thing. We need to figure out what we need to do on defense. We need to stop giving up 30 points. We need to keep scoring 45. We need to win the game tonight, and then we just move on to the next game, win one at a time.
Well,
Jerry, talk into the mic.
Yeah, to fall in, not fall in line there, but to fall in line, tonight's a big game.
Yeah.
Right. Tonight is a big game. We need to play good tonight, and we need to win this game tonight. And then let's see how we do tonight, and I'm going to answer that question tomorrow. It comes down to that. Now, that's close. That's close.
We got to win.
Denver was a disappointing surprise. I had a different picture of what we were going to be able to do. We have to give them credit, give Denver some credit. They read our stuff. But the bottom line is it's important that we stay in the hunt so that we can, if something as simple as staying in your lanes, and understand, stay in your lanes. But it's important that we get some help on the way, and we've got some help on the way coming, and we're getting better on offense. In other words, we've got two, possibly three starters coming back in the offensive line. Okay, and on defense, we've got to stay in the lanes and let that offense keep coming up. So I want to see what tonight brings.
Michael?
Hey, for me, my confidence level was there, but it just rose, knowing that we have somebody else coming on that, coming to play on that defense. Because honestly, it's wide open now in the NFC. There are no dominant teams. Every team, you're talking about the losses the Cowboys have. Every team going to get in this playoff going to have four, five, six losses on their record. So the Cowboys will be right there. All they got to do is hit this run right here, right now, and show up each week.
Let me say this, Mike. This guy we've got coming is not Dick Butkus, okay? But he sure knows how to hit the gap. He'll be in the right gap.
You got to stop the run,
right,
baby.
Right there, because
Jerry, Dick the other day, you know, so, you know, I read some, and I'm reading the Wall Street Journal, Jerry. And you're in the Wall Street Journal, Jerry, talking about your business deal and how that wasn't a priority. You said that was the priority, right? There's $100 million out there to get. That's what you said, Jerry. What's $100 million? Now, damn it, Jerry, $100 million, $100 million. We ain't knocking you for it now. $100 million, get all of our $100 million. $100 million. But in the same breath, Jerry, with the trading deadline approaching, did you have to give that quote? Knowing that Dak Prescott was going to have to come up there in that press conference. I mean, he's the master saying all the right things, Dak Prescott. Well, but I looked at Jerry. I said, Jerry done lost. Why would you say that, Jerry? Why would you be focused on the oil deal? Publicly, that is.
How long have we been up here today?
2 hours.
2 hours. 2 hours. I sent that interview 5 minutes.
And it ran right.
What am I doing for the defense sitting up here other than trying to get this guy to come back the field on the other side? Let's just say, since the beginning, pro football is financial. When we first got involved with pro football, the Cowboys were losing $1 million a month. Mm. And I had to buy part of them from the government because they had been foreclosed on. No team in the NFL was making any money. There's no joy in Mudville when you're losing your ass. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's not. As a matter of fact, you can't play at your best. You can't do anything at your best unless you've got some soundness to your financial. Every time I look at now or in the future of the Cowboys or the NFL, I look for ways to keep it and make it as sound as we can possibly make. In a way, that's why we're all sitting here enjoying those aspects of it and why the players are so special.
So do you feel...
In other words, I have them tied at the hip. When I was in college, tickets, I played on a good team. Students got them for $1. Other people had to pay $7.
Okay.
This was at Arkansas, and we actually won a national championship that year. You could get a student ticket for $1. And so I would go over and get the girls' students' tickets that might not be coming to the game, and I'd get about 20. Because we were so good, they were selling for 20. I would get about 20 tickets. Because they were so good, they were selling for $20. But there was a problem. They weren't students, and they had to have that student ticket. I would go in. I'd get all taped up. I'd get all ready to play. I'd be ready to go down. 10 minutes later, I was going down on a kickoff. I'd walk out to the player's gate, and I'd lead those 20 people across the end zone, walk them right up in the stands, and I was making $400 a ball game. And I'd go back out and take that kickoff. I've been putting this money with football since the beginning of time.
Right. So let me
and
ask.
It doesn't bother.
Let me ask.
Okay, guys.
Let me ask Michael Irvin and the Marcus Ware this. Jerry Jones, according to Forbes, is now worth about $20 billion. Mm. The franchise is worth over $13 billion. He's making his money. He's going to continue to make his money because he's a brilliant businessman. When do you guys look at Jerry and say, we love you, man, and we appreciate you, but damn it, we want that ring?
We love you, Jerry!
When do you say that?
Right.
When do you say that? As Cowboys,
right.
Not as a media member, but as Cowboys.
Yeah, but
when do you say that?
Right. Jerry, first of all, Jerry knows we love him, and he knows how much we love the Dallas Cowboys. And we want to win another championship,
bar none.
But it is a process. And I think each year you learn so much in this game. And I think this year was an interesting year because offensively, I don't know that we've had an offense like this in a long time.
Right.
Offensively, I don't know we had an offense like this. And defense is what Jerry was alluding to, is about 11 men wanting to play together and being in the right position to play together. Things I heard today alluding to people. It gives me a little peace because I know what kind of leader I am.
Right.
If you're not going to be here for your dudes, man, then ultimately, we're not going to win.
I didn't focus on it too much because obviously Mike is not here, to defend himself. But
right.
Jerry was in those discussions. He owns the team. He's around, and that's his perspective. And he has every right to have it. And he's honest. And it's an informed perspective. He would know.
It's an informed perspective.
I mean, you can have a different opinion if you're Micah, but you can have a different opinion. You can't have a different opinion if you're Stephen A. Because I ain't there. You understand? They were there.
Right.
What are your thoughts, Marcus?
I think that. Money can't buy a Super Bowl trophy, but the players can. And from what Jerry Jones has been saying on stage and me knowing him, it's almost like he's about to put his money where his mouth is. And he's going to get the players that are needed that are going to come in here and change the trajectory of the Dallas Cowboys so now he can hoist that trophy up and just say, I am a true champion again. And make that star shine again. So I'm ready to see that. And, I'm just rubbing around now, let them know this is where it's at.
You can rub me anytime. But there seems to be that it's mutually exclusive, that you can't have your mind on something financial and still find a good football player.
Yeah.
I call BS.
Right.
Do you think for any second that I don't have some of the greatest people that all they do is look at football players, both on the Cowboys, away from the Cowboys, and what have you? I've got more information on where a football player
is. But Jerry, respectfully, nobody questions that. I think there are people over the years who have questioned how much you would be willing to listen to those folks because you have such a confidence and a belief in yourself that even having the best advisors, you're still going to make a choice, and sometimes it may not be the best one because you feel in your gut this is the way to go instead of what the experts tell you. How do you answer that?
I saw Bill Parcells the other day on a special talking about dealing with me and talking to me and talking about his ideas. He was really good. I won't give you the answer, but it does answer that.
Yes.
Basically said I was as open and reasonable and logical as you could find out if Bill had. I'll give you a funny one on Bill because he's sitting here. Bill had really made his mind up that in the draft that DeMarcus Ware was in, that in that draft that he was bound and determined because we wanted to move over from a 4-3 to a 3-4. Okay? Marcus Spears of LSU was there, and so was this guy sitting right beside me. Before the draft, Bill would be the first to tell you, it absolutely was, he was so convicted to get Marcus Spears. And he really got very upset. And we spent a lot of time on it. Finally, we cooled down for hours, came in there, came time for the draft, and of course I handed in DeMarcus Ware. Okay? Not Spears at all. 10 players later, we got Spears as well.
Right.
But we got DeMarcus Ware.
Right.
I'm sitting right here. Bill is sitting right where DeMarcus is.
Got to cut it off soon, guys.
Okay, real quick.
Yep.
He's writing a contract up, and he's very eloquent, and he slipped it over in front of me and said, if said player doesn't get 10 sacks a year, guess what? I have 5 trips a year with my significant other on Mr. Jones's jet. If he doesn't make it.
That's myself.
Parcell said it. And he slipped it up. Of course, he's trying to, we were trying to get right. So we're going with the draft.
That's all right.
I looked at that contract, had him had signature lines. I wrote on,
right.
Mr. Jones so agrees. But if player does get over 10 sacks a year,
get back some of that money.
I get to have those trips with his significant other.
There we go.
Without Bill.
I got to go. Oh,
without Bill.
Oh, my Lord.
And sign
Jerry Jones.
And sign.
Got to get on out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so much for joining the show. Thanks to the one and only Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, to DeMarcus Ware, Hall of Famer, and, of course, my brother, the playmaker, Michael Irvin. Thank y'all for staying with the Stephen A. Smith Show. Mad Dog Russo up next with his afternoon drive show. Y'all take care, everybody. I'll let y'all tomorrow.